I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's program is brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Oh, man. Happy post-Thanksgiving. That one's get you up and moving. A little dancing memory, Two Eyes, Eternal Sunshine from the Young Oblivion EP. And the genre is electropop, as iTunes told me. Is that an accurate?
Yes.
Okay. An accurate electropop. Welcome to a post-Thanksgiving Snacky Tunes. We are full of turkey necks, so shout out to Mom for absolutely crushing it this year once again. Probably the best Thanksgiving ever. If you want to hear Mom's prep, hit pause, go back, listen to last week's episode, and please note that there were enough turkey necks for a Friday night dip into, which is a new thing in the house. Shout out to Greg, who's out in L.A., who just saw Fleetwood Mac last night with the full band, and he said it was amazing. It was amazing. And sitting in Greg's seat today is the one, the only, Jay Strell. Strell, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thanks, Darren. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there.
Yeah.
You know the story behind that, why they have the full band?
No.
For Tusk, so they did a video when Tusk came out, which is their sort of double album that they did after after Rumors. And they did a video for it with the USC marching band.
Right.
Where they do it at, I think it might be at Dodger Stadium or something. It's pretty funny. I don't even think Mick showed up. No, one of them didn't show up. I think it was John. I think he was probably so hungover or coked up he couldn't.
30 years of coke and hatred.
There you go. Anyways, I just wanted to throw that in. It's a great, but that's where it came from.
Yeah, they actually had some USC colors in the house last night for the actual show. So shout out to everybody. But I want to welcome one half back, one new two Snacky Tunes, but Adam and Vinny from Greenpoint Fish and Lobster Co. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Happy Thanksgiving, boys.
Same to you.
You guys have a good one?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Too short.
Yeah, 4 or 5 days really, really go quickly.
Mine was about 36 hours.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you have a store to run. So, Vinny, you are a past guest. Adam, you're a new one. We met at this, I don't even remember, you'll have to excuse me, the... It wasn't your dinner, but you had provided the fish for this all salmon dinner.
Oh yeah,
Cure Supper Club.
Eat up.
Yeah. Supper Club.
Yeah.
We had met, and back then you had told me that you guys were about to add a much needed resource to the Williamsburg Greenpoint area, which was a fish shop, sustainable fish shop. And back in July, you guys opened the doors to what is the Greenpoint Fish and Lobster Company to much applause. And much thankfulness to actually have fresh, good fish that you can actually know where it comes from. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
How's it been?
Crazy.
It's been great. The word crazy.
It's been great.
I mean, what was it like? What was it like to open up, you know, not just a restaurant, but an actual combo retail store restaurant? And explain what the setup is for those who've never been.
Sure. The setup is, it's a retail market, fish market in the front. So you can buy whole fish, filleted fish, clams, mussels, oysters, lobster, all of that, raw, either whole or filleted, in the front, and take it to go, cook it yourself. Or there's also about 25 seats, 12 at the bar and a couple of two-top tables, and you can sit, and there's an open kitchen, and you can get, there's a raw bar, you can get, you know, usually five or six varieties of oysters, clams, sea urchins, things like that, as well as fish tacos, sandwiches, mussels, daily specials, chowder, things like that.
And so where did the idea come from?
The idea came from, I've been living in the Greenpoint, Williamsburg area for a number of years, mm-hmm. and been working out of a home office for years and cooking a lot. And I've been a pescatarian for 13 years and found that the only place I could buy fish was Manhattan.
True. At Metropolitan Avenue.
Yeah.
Shout out to Paul Zollo.
Yeah. I mean, so for those who don't know, there is one sort of well-known, more infamous fish shop on Manhattan Avenue that's been around forever. I don't know anyone who's ever shopped there.
I've shopped there, but you leave feeling terrible about yourself.
Because?
You just, I don't know. I hate to dump on the store, but, you know, you just, I don't know. You don't
know where the fish is from.
You don't know where it's from. The quality is dubious. The conditions in the shop are
pretty gnarly. They also always try to sell you, you know, like...
Upsell?
The dead lobsters.
No. Downsell.
Downsell. Oh, my God.
You walk in, there's special deals on, you know, undersized lobsters that they got to move, or things have been dying or
off the truck specials, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just, you go home with it and you're like, I hope I'm going to be okay. I hope my guests aren't going
to
be sick.
So you've been cooking, you've been pescatarian, and then there's been a lack of actual places to buy.
Right. And so originally it started as, just wanted to have a market, maybe 3 seats, 5 seats, you know, at a counter, really simple. And then, you know, you realize, you know, we talked to a number of people who have fish markets, and they said, if I could do it again, I'd have a retail or a prepared food component.
Yeah.
Because it allows you to move product a lot faster. And the key with fish, obviously, is to have super fresh fish, and you're moving it constantly, you know. Yeah. I'm bringing fresh fish every day.
Now, what's the split on what you're doing of fish sort of selling the product versus prepared food?
It really depends. We've been finding that the retail market side is always consistent across the board. Every day is around the same. There's the same. We have repeat customers. People come in, they want the same thing, or they're willing to try new things. But there's people coming back all the time and new people coming in. And then the restaurant, just like every other restaurant, has its good days and its bad days.
Right.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, crush. Just started a brunch. It's insane.
Really?
Yeah, I just came from it. It was
with packed. Eggs and everything?
Oh, yeah.
What's a typical brunch menu?
So we've got Eggs Benedict with Arctic Char. We've got fried oyster breakfast tacos, so like soft scrambled eggs, fried oysters, shaved Bottarga, things like that. And then we've got...
Do you make your own Bottarga?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we've been making with Fluke.
Wow,
One of our fishmongers is all about curing, and he's also doing our we do house cured gravlax with Arctic Char, and Bottarga. We've been using Fluke for the Bottarga.
What's the process of making that
Bottarga?
Yeah,
a lot of salt, a lot of salt, and weighing it down and kind of pressing it for a couple days, and we just shave it on everything. It's awesome.
But we bring everything in whole, and then we take it. And we use every single part of the fish.
Even the bones?
That goes into fish stock, which we also serve, or we sell fish stock if you want to just buy it, bring it home, put it on your own chowder soups.
A little fresh fish stock.
Yeah, I mean, nothing goes to waste.
Now, how big are these fish that you're bringing in? Because it's a small shop. I mean, not small, but it's not large.
Bigger than you probably should. That catfish the other day, what was that? 30?
It was like 32 pounds.
Oh, okay. You're not bringing in 600-pound tunas, though.
No.
So breaking down a catfish, like what are you doing with the different parts of it? I'm just curious. Like, what are you, like, with a catfish?
Well, with that one, it was even too big to, the head and the frame was too big to stick in our pot. So we had to chop it up and stick it in to make fish stock. But normally we'll take the collars of everything. The catfish collar wasn't that great. I've been getting these amazing blue catfish from
Chesapeake.
From some guy in the Chesapeake that my cousin knows, and they are an invasive species, so there's no commercial restriction on them. They're just pulling them out of the water constantly, and it's delicious. It doesn't have that muddy flavor that the Mississippi catfish have. It's the same species, just it's not indigenous to the Chesapeake Bay. So
so you guys opened in July, and what were some of the surprises of opening up both the store, something that you didn't foresee, and then also, I'm not gonna say you're off the beaten path, because that's just totally insane, because you're right in the heart of Greenpoint, but you're not on the main strip, you're not in Manhattan. So what's it been like, and what's the neighborhood response been like, especially from the locals who may have never had access to this type of fish before?
Yeah, I think it's for the locals. It's surprising. They come in looking for tilapia and really cheap salmon and a lot of, you know, flounder, a lot of fried fish is what they're looking for. And we're trying to kind of do something a little different with fish, really high quality, you know, sustainable, traceable fish prepared really simply. So a lot of raw. A lot of very light, simple preparations. Trying our best not to fry everything. It's very easy to fry everything with seafood.
That being said, your fish and chips are awesome.
So, yeah, you know.
Oh, I remember when you were in that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're trying. Anyway, they come in looking for, they all want to pick out their fish from the counter and then have us cook it. But it's set up, right now we're set up in a way that we portion out. Like, we purchase in advance to be like, okay, we're going to have, you know, this in the kitchen for fish tacos, this for this. And we kind of make sure that the case is stacked for retail customers.
Mm.
And so if people come in and it kind of screws up the
count.
Like, the count. It's just the sort, it's just the ordering and everything when it's a free for all.
What's the fish retail community like? Because I know that all the butchers sort of know each other. But seeing how there's not as many fish retail people, is there a community? Is there like, oh, I know a guy who's got some stuff coming in. You should go get some for your store.
It's more chefs. I feel like we have there's a chef community that comes in and they. Like, we talked to, you know, talk to those guys. And we also talk to the butchers a lot because people go to the butcher shops like Meat Hook and Broken Kitchen looking for fish, and they send those folks to us. And people ask us about meat, and we send them there. And Steve's Meat Market down the street.
Yeah.
You know, we go back and forth a lot, and, you know, there just isn't much of a season.
Yeah, but, I mean, also we have, you know, the Brennan from Lobster Place.
Oh, yeah.
Lives in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
He comes in and hangs out, and, like, I know the...
That guy. That guy figured it out.
He's got it. But you know, we all talk. It's friendly. It's
do
good.
Do you guys do lobsters?
Oh yeah,
tons.
Yeah. Crush them.
Yeah,
we bring in a lot of places use already picked or frozen lobster meat that they bring in, and they just pull out of a bag or defrost and put into lobster rolls. We bring in lobster fresh every morning, alive.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a guy dedicated basically to steaming the lobsters and picking them. And picking the meat every day.
It's like the Sisyphus of the fish market.
Yeah. I mean, the lobster is insanely fresh. People are like, oh, this tastes amazing. So, yeah, because it was picked like 30 minutes ago.
I really love your use of Instagram. I think it's a very tight game that you have on the gram of just showing you guys getting the fish a day before and saying like, hey, this is going to be in the store together tomorrow. And then it's there. It's just really awesome to see you guys actually out at the source. And so how are those relationships been fostered? I remember one of you, the family has known those, had those relationships for years, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Adam runs the Instagram. I'm not even allowed to touch it.
did you try and put up a photo and the numbers just dropped?
Pretty
Your clout score just dipped?
Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah.
No, I'm not even going to try. I just, you know, if I'm on the docks, I'll send something to Adam and have him just post it, filter, whatever, hashtag, everything. He's
no
good
filter.
At that.
No filter.
Whatever.
Maybe a few.
Yeah,
maybe
a few. My family's been selling wholesale seafood out of Boston for 130 years. And I mentioned earlier with my cousin, all my cousins, my brother, my mom, my uncles, aunts, they're all involved in this one company in Boston called the John Nagle Company.
Okay.
And I grew up there and I've been there my whole life. And so I've actually got to know the people that work on the docks and the pier. And now that the older generation is kind of moving on, the people in my generation, their 30s, are taking over. And it's good that I've known these people for so long that now we've grown together and we, you know, started cutting the... I know I was starting repairing pallets and then moved on to cutting the heads off fish and then moved on. And then now I'm here and I have my own spot in Brooklyn.
That's so awesome. Proud family? Proud parents?
Well, it's funny. Vinny left the business. He got a law degree and moved. I'm out. And moved to New York to be an entertainment lawyer. And then I dragged him back in.
Reeled you back in.
Yeah, just like, you know, Al Pacino and The Godfather
3. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
what do you think are some, on the retail side, what are you seeing that people are buying that you're surprised that they're buying or that? And then on the flip side, is there certain things that are coming through that you're getting that maybe other places aren't? Or, you know, there's certain seasons for, like, say, shad roe or things like that that people should be looking for?
This is, like, 7 questions at once.
Sorry.
Pick whichever one you want. I'm surprised. So, first of all, seasonality is very important to us. We want to have only what's in season, mm-hmm. what's fresh, and we pride ourselves on hand-picking all the fish ourselves. And when we run out, and we're sorry. A lot of times people come in, they say, I can't believe you don't have lobster roll. And we say, well, we're sorry. We didn't have enough. We sold out of everything.
Yeah.
We'd rather run out than have leftover product and be passing that off to people. You know?
Right. And we don't
People respect that. People understand that at this point. They're like, oh, totally cool. What else you got? Oh, we got this, and it's amazing.
You introduce them to new types of fish.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't have a freezer either, so we can't even. It comes in and then it's out and then it's done.
Was that a decision when you were building out the spot?
That's convenient coincidence.
Gotcha.
But you know what? So I've been finding that when salmon season was in, we were just crushing salmon.
Yeah,
there's hundreds of pounds a week, which was I couldn't buy it fast enough.
Right.
And then salmon season tapers off in October ish, and now it's done and. I started bringing in char, which is a great alternative. It's like a cousin. Similar color, too. People come in, they say, I want salmon. We don't have salmon. We have char. But I've got a line on this great coho salmon that was frozen whole right after it was caught, and it's fantastic. And we got a case in from the friend that actually came in and told us about it. It's his family's company in Alaska, in Sitka. Great product, and we put that in the case, and now there's no char being sold. So it's kind of the balance.
Because everyone's back to buying the salmon.
Right.
So it's like when you don't have the salmon, the char is just flying off the shelf.
Yeah.
So just trying to see when you put products together, one can cannibalize another.
Gotcha.
And it's just keeping that, you know, but learning, okay, what's gonna
push both or something like
that. Yeah. All
right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about the holiday season that just passed and is coming up. Adam and Vinny here, talking about fish and talking about lobster, talking about all things Greenpoint Fish and Lobster Co. And you guys were you're about to enter your first holiday season, and you were open on Thanksgiving Day. What prompted that decision?
The market was open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
The
restaurant was closed.
Okay.
But we had a number of calls asking if we were going to be open that night for dinner, and if we were open for lunch, which was really surprising.
I get that. I mean, your spot is like a very holiday, fun, champagne, lobster decadent thing.
Yeah, but, you know, give the staff a break, let people go home and have dinner. Yeah. So, but I felt it was important to have the market open because people are doing a lot of, you know, everyone's shopping to the last minute for food, and people, especially with seafood, people like to wait till the very last minute to bring it in. And we had people who wanted oysters, but they wanted us to shuck them for them. And so they wanted to get their oysters, you know, 2 hours before, you know, dinner. So, you know, it's fresh. They don't dry out. And we had I could just feel it. We could feel it in the air. Like, a lot of customers were asking, are you going to be open? Will you have this? And we're like, all right, you know what? Let's just, if we got a couple staff guys, you know, a couple mongers who are in the neighborhood, aren't going away, and they don't mind, let's try it. So we stayed open for it. Vinny went to Massachusetts for Thanksgiving, but I was staying pretty local, so I figured, you know, and the people that came in were really appreciative. They're really psyched that we were open.
It's a community thing.
Yeah. It's like a resource that we're providing. So
I mean, you can't get that anywhere else there. You have to go to the city.
Right.
So Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
How do you think that people are going to be using the store? I guess we'll do Christmas, New Year's, because you guys, you know, oysters, the more decadent fish and things like that, the lobsters. I mean, that seems like something that's going to move a lot.
Yeah.
So what's your plan for the holiday season?
We're still figuring it out.
Thank you. Okay.
I think it's going to be pretty crazy. The neighborhood we're into is predominantly Catholic, and they have a pretty rich history of pretty insane seafood sales leading into Christmas. Like, every pastry shop, bodega, corner store, newspaper shop puts out, like, styrofoam containers of fish fillets on the sidewalk.
Are you going to do a Seven Fishes dinner?
I think what we're going to do is put out a menu. Mm-hmm. Like a suggested menu for Seven Fishes with products that we're carrying in the shop. So people like, I want to do a Seven Fishes dinner, but I don't really know where to begin. It's like, here's a guide with recipes and a suggested menu, and you can get all this stuff here.
Now, would you ever do something like that as like a one-night offering, specialty pop-up within the own restaurant?
We'd love
to. Like a tasting menu type of thing?
Yeah. I mean, we definitely have plans to do special events, ticketed events, things like that, that, you know, are seasonally appropriate.
Have you done any yet?
Not yet. It's been busy, you know, the shop's been really busy. So it's how do we do it with enough notice and not turn off people who, you know, our regulars are coming in to get dinner and it's like, sorry, we're closed for a private event. So we have some things in the works, maybe some spaces that might be conducive to pop-up dinners, things like that. I'm not sure if we'll be able to do it in time for this time, but definitely something that we have in mind. For sure.
Now, in addition to fish, though, I mean, you guys have other sea-inspired products that would make gifts as well, right?
Yeah.
What do you have at the store?
We've got a whole bunch of... I mean, there's a market. So in that market section, we have shelves, retail shelves full of sea salts from around the country, various sauces, condiments, oils, a lot of cookbooks, some really fantastic seafood cookbooks. What else we got? We make our own. Well, we don't make them physically, but we have Greenpoint Fish and Lobster Company branded oyster knives, clam knives. Ooh. Got some really nice tote bags.
Ooh.
American made
tote bags. Watch out, trending this year.
Heavy duty tote bags.
Heavy duty.
Oh yeah.
And any other specialties coming up for the holiday season, like a Cioppino or anything like that you're going to be doing?
Yeah. I'm obsessed with Cioppino. And
what's your recipe? Because I mean, everyone has their own.
I can't.
What? You don't have to tell me everything. I'm saying if I'm staring at a bowl of Cioppino that you made, what are the things that are going to be staring back at me?
Oh, there'll be shrimp, scallop, calamari, clams, mussels, probably some flaky white fish.
Ooh, flaky white fish.
My Cioppino is inspired by, there's a guy in San Francisco who has a place called Phil's Fish Market. I don't know Phil's last name, but Vinny and I made a trip to San Francisco a year ago? Was that it?
Yeah, last Halloween.
Last Halloween. And we made a trip down. We flew to San Francisco for 48 hours, and we made the two-hour drive down to Mossman Landing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where he's got this fish market, and he's got this world-famous Cioppino. And we just gorged ourselves on this insane bowl of Cioppino.
It's crazy, because I think most people feel that in San Francisco proper, there isn't really good Cioppino. Or anytime I ask someone who's from there, they say it's more of like a family
people do at home
thing like that, and that the public ones are, the restaurant ones are not on the level.
This one was...
But this wasn't San Francisco proper.
No, this was like...
The source. But this was like the original. From what I've been told, this is like... You know, everything stems from this one.
Okay.
It's an enormous bowl for two people. And you have big sourdough
like
bread.
Lady and the Tramp?
Oh, totally.
That?
Totally.
You started one on the sourdough bread, he started the other, you wind up in the middle?
Yep, yep.
That's great.
Or crab legs, you know? You have one end, I have the other. But no, I had one recently. I went to a new restaurant, Upland, and I tried the Chipino there, and it's with a like Korean, spicy Korean
interesting
paste. So it has this kind of...
Nice kick.
Nice kick to it. It was interesting. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely want to do a Chipino. I want to do some heartier dishes. We might do some, you know, some risottos.
Ooh.
Start messing around with some squid ink.
Very nice.
You know, some like heartier, warm weather.
Wintertime.
Wintertime food. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for the warmer seasons with you guys as well, and some rosé and some fish and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you guys. I want to make sure I get all the information. So where can people find out about the store? Get to the gram, all that kind of stuff.
So... Obviously, follow us on Instagram at Greenpoint Fish. If you don't have Instagram, our Instagram feed gets posted to our website at www.greenpointfish.com. So you can follow along there. We're at 114 Nassau Avenue at the corner of Eckford, just two blocks off the Nassau G train stop.
It's pretty, and you can also, if it's a nice or even semi nice day, you can get off of Bedford and walk up.
Oh, it's a great walk to the park.
If you're scared of taking the G,
that's what I did today. It was easy.
Yeah, super easy. And you got brunch and you got dinner.
And lunch. We open. We're doing lunch specials now. So we're doing, you get fish to order fish tacos, our kelp noodle pad thai, or bowl of chowder, half dozen oysters, and a Narragansett tall boy for $20.
All that?
All that.
One of those.
Oh. it was like, damn. So, yeah, okay. You're the numbers guy. You're the dreamers.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. Well, I want to thank you guys. Stick around.
I don't know you, but you know me. We could have been something to see. You're really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance. I like you, so you just don't know. What about me? You're really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance. I like you, so you just don't know. What about me? I thought there was a spark with us. Now who am I supposed to trust? You wanted her instead of me, so now we're in kid history. You're really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance. I like you, so you just don't know. What about me? You're really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance. I like you, so you just don't know. What about me? You put me under so much stress. You get your part and I get less. I try my hardest to do my best. That's why I'm tense. You're really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance. I like you, so you just don't know. What about me?
So we have Memory with two Y's, a.k.a. Sean, in the house. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
Who is going to be walking around the corner to Greenpoint.
That's right, yeah. My neighborhood week. Stomping ground.
Are you? Do you cook a lot of fish?
I don't really cook that much. Oh. Thank God I live with my fiancé.
Okay, okay. Don't worry.
Oh, your fiancé cooks, though?
She cooks. Not enough seafood, so we're going to have to change that.
Well, now you got the source.
Yeah.
Just wait till we start doing classes.
Are you
oh, really?
Really?
Is oh, that yeah. on the agenda?
That's coming.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
I'm down.
So awesome.
I got to learn.
Well, Sean, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
Loving the EP.
Thank you.
Talk to us about the EP, how it came together, how long you've been in New York, etc.
Okay. Probably 6 years ago, I moved from LA.
Oh, how was that reverse move?
When I first did it, it was really scary.
Yeah?
But it needed to I lived in LA for 10 years. 10 years is too long to live anywhere, I think.
Yeah, I'm about to hit 10 years in New York.
Okay, you're going to have to flip like
I'll flip it.
Yeah.
Do you still have your room out there?
No. But when I go back, I got too many couches to stay on. It's great.
Oh, yeah. LA couch surfing. So you came out here. How did you deal with your first winter?
Well, I'm an East Coaster originally, so it was like a return to the roots, and I just was not ready for it.
Yeah.
I still don't have a good winter coat.
You know, it's the best investment I ever made.
Yeah.
Winter coat, winter boots, proper raincoat. Raincoat's actually the secret in New York. The proper raincoat, proper umbrella. Stutterheim. Worth it.
Hmm.
Being dry all day was a novel thing. It was like, oh. So you come out here.
Yeah.
Where'd you move? Straight to Greenpoint?
Let's see. I was subletting at first South 4th.
Okay. Like
Williamsburg.
Shout out to the Berg.
Yeah. And basically, L.A. chapter was closing for me. I was in a band out there called The Squares, and that shout out to The Squares.
Shout out to The Squares.
And all that stuff was coming to an end, so I started messing around with electronic stuff.
Okay.
At the same point, I moved out here, and then kind of...
I heard your band is selling guitars.
No.
No.
No. No guitars.
Okay, no guitars.
Synths,
yeah.
I'm a synth guy. That's me.
Synths always?
Let's see.
Synth birth?
Synth birth? You see this tattoo here?
Oh, yeah,
this,
it's a synth. This is a guitar.
That's the first keyboard I ever had when I was like 6 years old.
And did you have the strap?
Yeah, I had a strap. Like every camping trip or a car trip, I'd be in the backseat with my headphones on, rocking out on that guitar.
So awesome. Yeah. Old McDonald on the guitar?
Something like that.
So you moved to Williamsburg. You're fucking around with keyboards.
Fucking around with keyboards. Yes, right.
We swear.
Yeah, we swear. Okay.
Yeah. We just put down a pitcher of beer. Get a little loose.
The first thing I did was called Kittenberry Crunch.
Okay.
I did a couple things with that terrible name.
Okay.
It's great / terrible.
Do you want to say where that name came from?
No.
Okay.
It's better that way.
Leave that one to the archives of the internet.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But at some point, put together a band as Kittenberry Crunch. We were playing, and we're like, we're not going to go anywhere.
Where were you
this
playing
name.
Back then?
R.I.P. Glasslands.
Oh, not yet.
Soon to be. I'll never play there again, probably. But
you're not getting invited back for last month?
I don't think they've invited me.
Okay.
But, yeah, at some point we realized it was time to change the name. And
okay.
Two EPs ago, we did.
Okay. To Memory?
To Memory with Two Eyes.
How did you pick Memory with Two Eyes? Googability?
Actually, it's terrible. You still can't find it. You have to put quotes, I think.
Oh, really?
It's always like, did you mean Memory with One Eye? It's like, no.
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 So you changed the name, put out two EPs, and then that was before the latest EP, right?
No, I'm counting the latest one as the second.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. So you put out the first one, and that was called?
That was called Electric City.
Okay, and then between the recording of the first one and the second one, you made a big decision.
I did make a big decision. I was talking to you about it earlier. Yeah. I was like, at some point, Memory became like a big band.
It's yeah.
Like, too many people, too many decisions.
Too many cooks.
Too many cooks. Too many cooks.
Too many cooks.
So I basically told everyone I wanted to do it solo. So
how was that conversation?
It was the longest email I ever wrote in my life. I rewrote it like 5 times.
Short novella. Before,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm like, no, this one's too harsh. Like the fifth rewrite was perfect. And it was sweet. And I was like, it's not you. It's me. You know? Yeah.
Wow.
Still friends. We're all still friends.
Okay. That is more than some people could say about their past bands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you decided to do that. And was that just so because you had a clear vision that you didn't want to compromise on?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I wanted to return to my original roots of Kittenberry Crunch, which started me and my laptop. And
which
it
the
just
people were asking for, right?
The people wanted it. You know, there's big demand on YouTube.
Kittenberry, where are you?
I just want to get back to being a producer, really.
That's
and so this album, I co-produced it with a couple people. I think you know Tim from The Golden Pony.
Love Tim. Shout out.
Shout out to Golden Pony. He did a track. Brother Tiger, I don't know if you know him. Chill Wave guy.
Chill Wave. Not familiar, but love the name.
He likes synths like I do. So
great.
It was a beautiful marriage.
Can we hear a song?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Are you going to rip one on the synth?
I'm going to rip one. So here's the thing. This is my first performance not with a live band.
Okay.
It's just me. This is totally different for me. Man. I want to give a little warning to the people.
You know, no one would know if you didn't say anything.
Well, you'll know.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. Memory here live on Snacky Tunes. awesome. Synth magic, my friend. Synth magic.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what is your writing producing process list now that you're sort of just in there with like one other guy? Where's the editing come in?
This album was really weird because I thought I had the songs written first, and then okay. I went in there and I rewrote everything 20 times. So sometimes it was like Brother Tiger throwing some ideas at me, and then sometimes he would go on tour for a month and I would just tinker with stuff and change stuff. And he'd come back and everything was changed and then he'd be really mad. But that's, hey, it's the process.
Hey, man, you went on tour. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do? Sit around? No.
What am I supposed to do?
No.
No. So what's the live show like now? Or what's the live show going to be like now that you don't have the band?
That is the best question of all. Because
well,
I don't
thank
know.
You so much.
I don't know.
Yeah. You don't know.
I put together a live band for support of the
Any
album
the same
when
guys?
It came out. Same drummer.
Okay.
Same drummer, great guy, Dan Morosi. Shout out.
Shout out, Dan.
I'm just doing shout outs everywhere.
Just a whole 1 hour of shout outs.
1 hour of memory shout outs. This week on Snacky Tunes.
Yeah. Right. top show ever. Yeah, you just listed names for half an hour. Sort of weird.
Woo!
So you have the same drummer, live band.
Yeah, I put it. It was kind of some of the people who played on the album.
Okay.
Were playing live. But, you know, I only had like a 4-show commitment out of these guys. So we did CMJ, we did CBGB Festival. And now I'm back to recording, and I might entertain doing the solo thing if this works. I mean, third time's a charm, last song. That was terrible.
Yeah, but that was no sound check.
That was no sound check.
How was CMJ this year?
I didn't go to that many things.
No one did.
I know. Well, also, there was an Ebola outbreak. You know?
Oh, yeah. At the bowling alley.
Right. That was the night I played. No one wanted to go to my show because everyone wanted to get Ebola at the bowling alley.
Way harsh. CMJ is not what it used to be. God bless him, but no dice.
I had a great time, though.
Yeah? Where did you play?
Where did I play? I'm going to blank on the name. It's on Greenpoint Avenue by the water. One of those bars.
I don't know. Greenpoint Avenue.
Come on, Greenpoint, guys.
Greenpoint Avenue by the water.
Cameo? Lulu's?
No, Coco?
Yes, that's it. Oh, Coco 66.
Whatever. Is it still Coco 66?
Yeah.
Really?
It's new management.
This week.
Yeah, this week. You know the story of what happened there, right?
No.
The guy lost his liquor license and then was taking liquor from the restaurant, selling it at the bar, and the SLA came in and destroyed 20K of... That's what I heard.
Can't
I'm
going to
say,
yeah,
disclaimer.
Down the drain right
disclaimer. I think that they came in, they poured everything out, and that was the end.
That's cool. You don't do that, guys.
That's the rumor.
Harsh.
I can't say that that's true. Yeah, so how do you feel about the Greenpoint Brooklyn music scene now with like DBA closing and Glass Dance closing?
It's the end of an era, man. It really is.
Are you feeling it?
Am I? No, I'm not.
No. Are you not feeling it like this is great?
And
like
awesome. No. Shut down my favorite venues.
Are you feeling it as a musician, like, and like the lack of places to play?
Well, it's New York. There's still too many places to play.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's your favorite place?
Actually, I love the Knitting Factory.
Yeah?
Yeah. The sound guy there is badass.
Shout out.
Shout out to that guy who mixes stuff.
But, I mean, do you feel that the music scene in New York is changing with the closing of these venues and things getting pushed out, or is it just the same story just repackaged?
Yeah, I think it's the same. I mean, the dirty hipsters moving in are going to have to move farther out to play their music. So the next big music scene is going to be Ridgewood, Queens or something.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think Ridgewood is going to be probably the next center of music.
It's crazy.
Yeah. For a moment, I thought I was going to move back to Ridgewood. And then I sobered up the next morning and I was like, fuck that. forget that. Do you want to rip another tune?
Sure.
Well, I guess ripping another tune. What would you say? Do you want to synthesize another tune?
No. Well, I'd actually want to serenade.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay. So this was my big dilemma was like trying to figure out what to play solo.
Yeah.
And the thing that comes really easy to me is like lounge versions, like really slow. So here's the first single off my new album, Young Oblivion. The song is called Feels Like the First Time. It's a ballad. Warning alert. I'm going to get all sentimental.
It's fine, but you have a fiance.
Right.
Is it about her?
No comment.
No. Oh.
See how sexy that sounds?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Memory 2 Wise here live on Snacky Tunes.
Pardon the self-indulgence.
been years since we've been here. Say, I know that I was wrong to leave you for so, so long. But if you'd start falling into my arms, would feel like the first time. It'd feel like the first time if you'd start.
Awesome. Nice.
Sorry for my self-indulgence.
No way. That was great. Well done.
Thank you.
So what's next? I mean, I know you're going to be back in the studio. Are you going to just crank out like another EP? Is going to make a new EP every month?
I wish it was that fast. I probably have the material for the next EP right now. It's just a matter of finding people to mix it. I like to, you know, now that I'm a solo guy, my collaboration is with producers and mixers, and that's what where I want to collaborate next right now.
Do you have any dream collaborators?
You know who was on the show that I would love to work with is Blood Orange.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That guy.
Wow.
That guy.
That Blood Orange show was quite a few years ago, my friend.
I just listened to it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's great, though.
He's great. He's so good.
I remember that. We were hanging out the Sunday night before, and he was really into magic tricks.
Right, yeah. He talked a lot about magic.
Magic tricks. And our guest canceled that morning, and I was like, do you want to come on? And he ripped some tunes.
Man.
He ripped. Awesome. Oh, he's so good. His new live show.
Yeah. Did you see him at Central?
Yeah, I did.
I was there.
It was good.
It was good.
Oh, man. He could dance. That man can
dance. What does he have? A broken arm or is it a broken?
Broken knee. But I think it's fixed.
Okay. I remember he was, yeah, for the show, he was for the Central Park one. He was hobbling.
But he's great. So Dev, do a little magic EP.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That's great. So you're going to record, you're going to mix, and then hit the road?
I don't know. Time will tell. I do have a lot of other projects. I'm producing a buddy's album. I'm writing songs for commercials and films. Stuff
really?
Like that. Yeah. That's where I make the most money.
Well, I mean, selling out. Soundtracking for commercials and films.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything cool?
It's a no-brainer. I just did a Pepsi. I don't know if it'll be on the halftime. I think it's just going to be on like their website.
Oh,
but
cool.
But it's a halftime Pepsi ad.
So is it mostly synth music or what are you laying down for that?
No, it starts off very symphonic and then it gets dubstep.
Well, I mean...
Those two just go hand in hand.
Hand in hand. Now, wait, is it live symphony or is it just like it's all...
No, it's this keyboard here, actually. It's a Mellotron.
Okay.
Mellotron symphony, yeah.
That's so awesome. Yeah, the orchestrated dubstep remix that we've all...
So good.
So good. Is it a good commercial? I love the commercials for the Super Bowl.
I don't know if this is going to air on the... I think it's web only.
Oh.
It's 90 seconds. That's why there's no way they're going to spend
6 minutes. That is not true.
I wish they did, and then I'd be like, that's my song. But
that's my song.
It's good.
Is that a bucket list thing, having something that you scored play during the halftime? And that was a pun. Thank you very much.
Wait, I missed the pun.
Scored, halftime,
oh.
Football.
No. That's not on
Cough.
My bucket list.
Cough. Okay, well, I want to make sure that we have enough time for one more song. And I want to thank you, but can you let people know where they can find your music, where they can find you? How's your gram game? How's your Instagram game?
My gram game, so. Guys, I need some gram love. So if you're out there, it's Memory Man. That's two Ys. Memory Man.
Memory.
And you can get myself SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff.
That's great.
It doesn't sound anything like these versions.
Well, it sounds like
it's something like
that. Like that. It sounds like just go back to the beginning of the show and listen to the opening track.
Yeah.
That's indicative of what it is.
Sure.
All right. Well, I want to thank Greenpoint Fish and Lobster Co. Thank you, boys. Jay Strell, thank you for color commentating.
Thank you for having me.
Shout out. We have one fan in Paris who made our mom's sweet potato pie. Her name is Clementine. So shout out. And shout out to mom for crushing Thanksgiving and to the whole family. It was great to see you.
Great job, mom.
And we will be back next week with some more food, some more music, and more delicious Roberta's pizza. What's the last track you can take us out with?
This will be off the next album when it comes out. It's called Fine Predicament.
Okay.
Fine Predicament.
First song off this is the first song off the new album.
This is the sneak peek right here.
All right, here we go.
Exclusive.
Snacky Tunes exclusive. You know we love it. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.